And the title of this teaching is called Established in the Faith. Of course, the King James, he uses the word establish. Doesn't even have the E in front of it. But so that you'll know. Have you ever had or thought of, that you had a friend that at some time in that friendship they betrayed it?
Yeah.
I think we can all say that we probably have had that to where. And what I mean by betraying is that sometimes you find out that things that you may have said in confidence was repeated, or they gossiped about you, or they've done a little backbiting because of jealousy or whatever other reasons. But in the world, the natural man tends to put relationships in a category of convenience or what is the mutual benefit. As long as those matters of convenience are in place, then the friendships remain. But as soon as those kind of things are finished, then what you thought were really good friends are no longer friends anymore. I mean, I don't think I've seen, outside of an occasional high school reunion, anybody that I went to high school with. Of course, I don't live in that town anymore, but people I thought were really, really good friends that I'd have forever. Your life changes. Now some go to college, some go in the military, some go away or start work, and all of a sudden that convenience of seeing each other in that commonality of high school is gone. So therefore the friendship ends. One thing that I thought was even more of a surety of having friends for life was when I was in the Way Corps. That was 2 years where you were together 24 hours a day, except when he slept, and then men and women separated. But other than that, the guys were with each other 24 hours a day for 2 years. And you got real close. Yet now, I don't hardly hear from any of them. And for my part, I believe that I would still respond in any plea for help or any request to see each other. I would respond in a very wonderful, positive way. But the point is that because we're no longer in the ministry, so to speak, then those commonalities, those points of common interest, go away. And so the friendship wanes or seems to. But then there are others who are true and faithful friends who it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It is that love and that commitment that carries through no matter, even if you're close to each other. That friendship and that relationship endures, it stays. The ladies, yesterday meeting, was talking about friendship. And what a wonderful thing to explore in the Word. Because God puts great store in friendship. And He definitely honors those kind of commitments that people have to each other when it's based upon the Scriptures, upon faith. So, let's go to Romans chapter 16. Here we're going to talk about the faithfulness of God to our relationship that He's created. Before Jesus Christ, at least as far as the Gentiles were concerned, there was no relationship with God. None. Except that God was the Creator, but other than that, there was no kind of relationship that He had with the Gentiles. The Gentiles could readily see that there was a God, but then they mistakenly made other gods to explain what they were trying to explain. Or they were making up gods to try to explain the natural world. In Romans 16:25, it says, "Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to My gospel." Now who has the power to do that? God has the power to do that. To establish us. He establishes, first of all, He establishes in the five sonship rights. He extends those five sonship rights to us. He extends to us eternal life. But most of all, he extends to us a relationship of a father to his children. Now, he established that. And there's the most amazing thing is that there's nothing that we can do to change that in his perspective to us. But we can definitely vary in our perspective of it, of our relationship to him, depending upon what we think and what we do. And it says, according to my gospel. So it wasn't that it was his gospel was separate than everybody else's gospel, but it was definitely unique in the explanation of the ministry, of the mystery. He was the first one that God showed the mystery to. And of course, we know what that mystery is today, but it was a mystery then. You know, it was completely new, completely revolutionary to the mind of all the believers who were from Jewish background. Because the Jews at that point believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah to the who? Israel. And to them, their new life, even of speaking in tongues, was a continuation of that ministry to Israel. It was the continuation of the law of Moses. They didn't know that there was a new way that God was going to work with people. And especially that he was going to allow now the Gentiles to have the same access to him that they were enjoying after the day of Pentecost. They knew that that was all changed. And they were coming into the church by the thousands. But they were all Jewish background. They were all part of that Jewish nation. Now the Gentiles, the door had been opened to them. And we talked about that last week, about how God had made that plan all along through the promises that he had given to Abraham. According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. Now, until the mystery is fully explained in all of its ramifications in Ephesians, this is the first time that that word is used in the church epistles, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And that is the difference between the Gentile that is not born again and the Gentile who is born again. The difference is obedience. It makes a change. Our life literally changes from that as walking as natural men and women to one who is an obedient child. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. God is the author of all of our salvation, and Jesus Christ was the agent of that salvation. It was through Jesus Christ that we had our access to God. Some people have pictured it like a bridge over a chasm to where that connection could be made. Without the bridge, there is no connection. But everything is through Jesus Christ. Not too hard to understand. This word established is an interesting word. And it is the Greek word pronounced sterizo, sterizo. And it's spelled in the Greek S-T-E-R-I-Z-O. And it means to set fast, to turn resolutely in a certain direction, to be fixed, to be strengthened. And when the people put our posts in for our fence in the backyard, first they dug the hole, then they put the post in, and then they put this concrete powder mixture that, when it's exposed to the moisture of the ground, it hardens up. So that post is in a certain, has to be in a certain direction because it's square. If it was out of square, then you couldn't put those nice little boards. So that is this kind of word. It sit in a position, in a certain orientation, and it remains fixed. That's what this word established means. It doesn't mean to be varied, pushed around, to constantly go from one opinion to another, to look at the scriptures, first you believe it, then you don't, you know, that kind of thing. But that's this word established. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. Now we see that God has established us within the body because of the mystery that he had been keeping secret until it was revealed on the day of Pentecost in a practical sense, but in a doctrinal sense, it was then revealed a little bit to Peter, the house of Cornelius, but doctrinally, it was a really, really fleshed out when it was given to Paul. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And I definitely understand that sentiment because there are places I'd love to go. I wanted to go to Venezuela. And I was looking for God to open up the doors. And the stupid governments get involved and I couldn't go. But the point is that's still my desire. I want to go and be with those people down there. So I understand that longing to get to be with the people that you love. And the Lord make you increase and abound in love one toward another. That's God's desire for us. He wants to increase and abound in love one toward another. And toward all men, even as we do toward you. Our love is not just to the household of believers. Otherwise, we wouldn't work so hard to tell people about the gospel of their salvation. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it is our love for people that would motivate us to do that for them. We don't have an enemy in the sense that just because you don't believe like I do, that you're my enemy. No. We just are totally convinced that what we do know and believe is the truth. And we want to share that. I get a little giggle out of these little signs, coexist, you know, where you got all the different... how can that ever be? How can that ever be if there is one truth? There's going to have to be, eventually there's going to be a reckoning of what the truth is for everybody. And that will happen. So we don't have to worry about that. God's going to take care of that. He's going to straighten that out. But it doesn't mean that we compromise and become diluted in our faith because we're mixing it with everybody else's. Because we all got to coexist. To the end, he may establish your hearts unbelievable in holiness before God. Well, what does God look on? He looks on our hearts, right? Sometimes we have fleeting thoughts through our minds that come and go. You know, they don't take roost. They just are just a fleeting thought because we live in the world. We're bombarded by all the stimuli. We think things and then all of a sudden, that's crazy. Then we come back to reality of what the truth is and then we stick with that. But the point is that it is that we can become established in our hearts so that we don't become that movable thing because it is in our true establishment of our hearts that our relationship is true. Even unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. What a glorious day that will be. Our thoughts and actions prove our faithfulness to ourselves first. And when we have that, we have confidence toward God, who is always faithful. And what do we need in order to have prayers answered? Confidence toward God. But it is in our faithfulness that we build that confidence, see? Because we can see that the Word is alive and real. It's working. That builds my confidence that God is true and faithful. So when I pray and ask God for things according to His Word, I know that He's going to honor that and He's going to bring it to pass. The challenges that each one of us face is going to be different. There are going to be people who are struggling every day to put food on the table. Believers in different parts of the world struggle every day to have food to feed their families. There are other believers who are struggling every day to try to make sure that the business deal goes through and that it's a blessing. You know, two entirely different perspectives. But it's the same God at work in all of our lives. We can be confident that God is faithful. So, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your heart and establish you in every good word and work. So that's what I was talking about, is our thoughts and our actions. Good word and work. What are your thoughts? Not just what comes out of you. It isn't what just is in your mind. It's what is the, it precedes our words that comes out of our mouth too. Right? I mean, you don't all of a sudden just start talking, do you? No. The words are formulated in your thoughts and then they come out of your mouth. So words, our thoughts, and our actions, what we do, is that part that we are wanting to change. We're wanting to change from the old man way of doing things so that we can have that confidence toward God and everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. We have a relationship with God that is by His choosing and it's by grace. And each day we are faithful, we are becoming established in our believing and our love. It is in that faithfulness that we become established. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, my conversations with Yodomo, that was probably the one thing that made him the most susceptible, is he says, I just couldn't believe that it could happen to me. Just didn't even consider that this could have happened to me. But it isn't being sober and vigilant is what we need to be. And that's being faithful to His Word. Because when we are not sober and vigilant, then the adversary takes us when he wants to. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You're not special. You're not all that special in the problems that you have. But every time we are more than a conqueror, we build that that faithfulness, that believing in our hearts, and it also inspires believing in others. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthen, settle you. Isn't that great? So when we come out the other end, we see that God has made us more than a conqueror. That even sets the cement even harder, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because we are established in the faith, we can become established in our hearts. And that's where the goal is. Become established in our hearts. And we'll see that in James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Now, some of us are thinking about maybe putting a little tomato plant out, you know, and putting things in the ground that will grow. And of course, we're not going to be looking for the tomato next week. It takes time. It takes patience. But I guarantee you're going to be out checking those plants. You're going to make sure it's healthy and it's thriving and getting enough water. Well, our hope is a lot like that. Unless we tend to that hope with our thoughts, starting to expect and looking forward to the day that we will receive the fruit, then guess what? It gets overgrown with weeds. We got to continually tend those, that hope that takes tending. Verse 8. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And every day could be the day. Every new day brings a new opportunity that this could be the day. A lot of people are afraid of that. They're afraid. Yeah, there are. I mean, because of wrong teaching, they think that they're going to receive punishment. And they stand in fear. They're not looking for that hope. They're afraid of the hope. That's not a hope to them. But we have the hope. We have a hope that we are going to be with Jesus Christ. And for us that don't make it to that day before we are no longer awake, we have the hope that our next moment of consciousness is seeing Jesus Christ face to face. It's a long nap, is all it is. Isn't that great? So we don't have that hurt in our hearts for the people that have passed on that we love so much. Because we know that the next thing that they'll know is Jesus Christ. Where we have sometimes hard times is how much we miss Him. What a hole that's left in our hearts. But you know what? God is faithful. He can fill that. Not replace it, but He can fill that emptiness. Because that is a part of what He does as well. So, Father, thanks for your word. Thanks for that we can become established because we are established. But our understanding and our recognition of that is where we become established in our hearts. So we thank you for the word, the ministry that you placed in our lives. Thank you for all the believers that we serve and that we are blessed by. We pray for them, Father, and we thank you for giving them everything that they need in a more than abundant way. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.